The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Sure enough, the ref was over. What's your name? And him talking to me for all match the ref. He's the captain for Trouser, up and he's chatting to me. I'm loving the Paddy set. Paddy Andrews, red card.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. It is Thursday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock as Rory McIlroy rolls in a birdie putt from 15 feet on the 18th hole on the opening day of the Open Championship at Royal St. George. It gets him back to level par, a round of 70 for McIlroy. A couple of bogeys in his final five holes, putting some respectability on his scorecard. And he is six shots behind the leader, which is held by the 2010 champion, Louis Westhays, and serial contender at major championships this year. He's on six under par, shot clear of Jordan Spieth, another former winner, and the American Brian Harman. Stuart Sink among the group on four under par. Brooks Koepka is in the house on one under par. McIlroy then on level par, and the defending champion Shane Lowry is on one over par alongside the likes of John Rahm. Darren Clark is there as well, while Patrick Harrington is in the group on two over par. It's just about another half an hour or so to play in that first round of the Open Championship. In the Europa Conference qualifiers, it's been a bad day for Sligo Rovers. They've been beaten 2-1 on the night at the Showgrounds by the Icelandic side Stjarnan. So 3-1 defeat on aggregate for Sligo Rovers in the game that they probably would have expected to win. Bohemians just getting underway, or just underway in their game. They're playing Stjarnan. Sligo Rovers are beaten by FH by 3-1. But Stjarnan won all in that game on aggregate against Bohemians. As I said, that one is just underway in the last 15 minutes or so and it remains scoreless. That one being played at the Aviva Stadium in front of a crowd of around 6,000. Now, it is a packed weekend in GAA, probably the busiest weekend of the summer so far. Huge weekend in hurling. If you're looking for some cracking analysis on that, James Skettle was on OTB AM this morning. That one is on the OTB podcast network. You can just subscribe to that. We'll have reporters at all the big games over the weekend. In the football, well, on Saturday it is the first of the Ulster semi-finals, Armagh against Monaghan at Park Esler at 4 o'clock. And then on Sunday, the second of the Ulster football semi-finals sees Donegal take on Tyrone at Brewster Park at 1:45. There's also a couple of Leinster football semi-finals. Dublin against Meath is only on GAA Go. It's not even on TV. Dublin against Meath, hard to believe. That one's at 4:30 at Croke Park. Before that, Kildare take on Westmeath. To look ahead to all the weekend's football, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by the former Donegal footballer Brendan Devenny and the former Mayo footballer Cora Staunton. Evening to you both. Brendan, let's get straight to it. Is Michael Murphy fit?
Yeah, let's hope so, let's hope so, Nathan. After the last performance of Donegal's, we need all the armoury that we can get. And I think you see when he came on 4 points down, you know, his influence in the game, you know, whether it be just general play or that bit of assuredness that he brings to Donegal is vital. I think particularly going into a semi-final when Tyrone played really well against Cavan. I was up in Healy Park on Saturday as well. After the first 20 minutes, they absolutely bossed it. And some serious players coming through for them, you know, particularly around midfield. They've never really placed, you know, Calm Cavan, but Kilpatrick, a great game. And off the bench as well, Brian Kennedy, a player a lot of people wouldn't know. Those lads put on huge shifts. The bench that they had, as I say, with the likes of McCann as well, obviously McShean coming back into the play. Players like that, you know, would say that Tyrone have a serious depth that maybe Donegal don't have. That said, obviously the last couple of years, Nathan, Donegal have bossed the fixture. You know, this is, say, the fifth meeting between the two counties. Tyrone had won three in a row. Donegal have won the last two in terms of championship and the league as well. So they've had a wee bit of a thing over Tyrone. So I think it's that big thing of Tyrone. Can they break this bit of stranglehold Donegal have had over them? And of course, under new management, trying to get a sense of a new style as well. But certainly what they've seen from Donegal's performance, I think probably maybe four of Donegal's players played well at the weekend. So lots of rooms of improvement for Donegal. But I think, listen, Logan and Duher were sitting down below me at the game. I know Cora came up and visited us as well on Sunday, but they'll have seen loads of reasons why their attack, led by the brilliance of Darren McCurry, can punch a lot of holes in Donegal's defence.
Cora, it is a difficult one for Declan Boner around Michael Murphy because he is a generational player. So you're always going to build your team around him and your game plan around him. So when he's not there, it's very difficult to fill that gap. It's very difficult to make sure that the whole thing doesn't fall apart, which means, I guess, that you're always likely to take that risk with a player like Michael Murphy and start him in games, even if he's not fully at 100%.
Yeah, definitely, Nathan. I think the last day was clear to be seen. I think it was maybe after 40 minutes, Michael Murphy came on. And to say that he made a difference, it'd be an understatement. He absolutely made a huge difference, whether it was just his composure on the field, whether it was his freeze. But there was one stage he was back in the full back line. While he didn't get a block in, it was a huge pressure act to stop one of Derry's goal chances. So he had a huge impact in the game. So I think, obviously, Declan Bonner was hoping that maybe they get through Donegal without Michael Murphy and have him 100% fit for Tyrone. But after 40 minutes, the last year, they just couldn't afford it. The game was slipping away for them. You know, as Brendan said there, they were 4 points down, and he made a huge difference. You know, obviously, Derry were playing very well. And I think the thing is that in that Donegal team, you know, the main leaders in the team, especially probably in Ryan McHugh and Paddy McRaherty, were being notified brilliantly by Conor Doherty and Christy McCaig. So I think that's what Murphy was needed for, the leadership alone and maybe a bit of composure and to take the pressure you know, off other players. And yeah, he done a super job. So yeah, I think if he's 95% fit or even less, that he's going to have to start the next day, because Tyrone are a different animal than Derry.
I know you're going to be too modest to admit it, but you were that player, Cora, for Mayo for many, many years, of that level of importance. How difficult is it when you are that instrumental to everything a team does, when you are injured, not to force yourself back, not to take that extra step and just get out there just because you know what your teammates need?
Yeah, you know, hard to say, Nathan. I suppose for me, I probably missed very, very little. I didn't miss any championship match with Mayo, and very, you know, I think there was one season I missed the league after doing my cruciate. So I haven't really missed very, very few matches with Mayo. But yeah, I know from being involved in teams, other teams as well, you know, even from a point of view of AFL, if our main players aren't playing, it puts an awful lot of pressure on the other leaders in the team. And if them leaders, you know, are being nullified or are not performing or are in some cases very young, you know, their game plan is probably, you know, solely around Michael Murphy and how he performs. And it's not just his you know, points or goal kicking ability. It's everything else he brings. He brings calmness. He brings composure. He, you know, he lifts the team, you know, 5 or 10% every time, you know, he's on the ball. So it's all of them small little things, and all of them small little things add up. And you really could see the last day the importance, and I can't overstate it, of, you know, the difference he made to that Donegal team. It's like they all grew 5 or 10% when he came on, and it's just that calmness that he brings on match day. And he's huge, you know, and we'll talk about Mon and Nathan. He's like a Conor McManus. He's huge for that Donegal team. And you know, I do think they'll look at this as, you know, and there's no disrespect to Mon and Armagh, they will look at this as their Ulster final. And you know, it's knockout football, and if Michael Murphy can play probably 30 minutes the last day, I can't see him only but starting.
Derry should have won that game, Brendan, at the weekend. And maybe if they're another couple of years into their development, they take a few more risks in the latter stages and go and take their shots and kick their points and kick on and win that game. Defensively, what's going on with Donegal? What is the setup for Donegal at the moment, and why isn't it working?
Well, I think basically we just haven't been unearthing defenders. You know, listen, there was a couple of lads, namely Gillespie, Gador lad, Cruciate, Wee Morrison, I think, could have been a potential one of those old style cornerbacks. You know, I remember a few years ago Darren McCurry marking him out of the game in a McKenna Cup final and putting in one of those old style man-to-man type performances, a bit like you see with Chrissy McCaig on McBurdy and Sunday. You know, Donegal just don't seem to have players again. McMenamin would have been the one. I'm not too sure what was wrong with him Sunday. He didn't seem to be moving right at all. We keep having to go back to the likes of Neil McGee and plugging up holes in that, but I couldn't believe Donegal's tactics on Sunday. Listen, Derry went full blanket defence, you know, inside the 15. Like, I've heard people saying the teams played the same way. They did not play the same way, because Derry were rigid and they stuck to that tactic like an old school blanket 15, the way Donegal used to do it. And people asking about Donegal's performances inside, no forward ever shines when a team puts 15 back inside the 45. I wasn't expecting McBurdy or Brennan or anybody to have a game, because nobody can play. There's no room to play. When Derry broke up the pitch, Donegal were engaging them in different sectors of the pitch. So if Derry got beyond the 60, the whole place was open. You seen a simple hand pass inside. And you're right, Nathan, the amount of chances Derry had, the three goal chances, they didn't get goals, they didn't even get a score out of the penalty chance as well. So listen, but Donegal keep coming back. Nathan, we've seen it now. The Monaghan game, they were dead and buried. They were 9 points behind, they were 5 points behind Armagh in a lower scoring game. They just keep coming back. And that's actually instilled, I think, something that must scare the likes of the opposition in Ulster, because Donegal was so far off. As I say, normally in any championship game, you've maybe two, three, four players who don't perform. Donegal had three or four that did. So the fact that they were still able to come overcome Derry, now, as you said, they rode their luck, but that must instill a good bit of belief in them going into the semi-final on Sunday.
Corey, to be completely understandable if Tyrone were in a period of transition, and it ended up in an extensive period of transition considering the impact that Mickey Hart had on the county, and it certainly looked that way after the league campaign. But with what you saw from Tyrone last weekend and the performance of Darren McCurry and the fact that there's Conor McKenna and Darragh Canavan and attacking players of that quality, do you think actually this can be quite a short transition for Tyrone and they can do some real damage against Donegal at the weekend?
Yeah, I do. I think the transition was always going to be short. I think the biggest thing is, you know, with any new management team coming in, and especially after a period of, you know, having a manager, you know, for an extended time, like Tyrone have had Mickey Hart for years, I think it does take a while. Obviously, the COVID situation and the league situation doesn't help. And, you know, obviously having no pre-season competition like the McKenna Cup and then only having a shorter league period, you don't really get to see your players. And obviously they didn't have their, you know, full training. They're only back in training in a couple of months. So I do think with a new management team, that it's quite difficult for the management to get to know the players, obviously, but even for the players to get to know the management and, you know, put their own stamp on it and their own style of play. But I think what we've seen against Cavan, you know, while we talked about Tyrone a few weeks back and their performance in the league semi-final, I think what we've seen with Cavan is they, not that they went back to the old Mickey Hart style, but they kind of have a balance between now where they're being a little bit more defensive rather than the all-out attack. So yeah, I think their forward line, you know, and it's always been Tyrone forwards that, you know, it's just a consistency around them. So, you know, obviously the consistency of Darren McCurry and players like him, you know, obviously Colin McShane coming back is a huge plus. Like we've been talking about Michael Murphy, he can be in the realms of that. So I do think they have the forward line there. Again, they're playing, if you look to the last, the likes of, you know, Niall Snudden and the likes were, you know, kind of playing that defensive, taking the ball on and leaving kind of Matty Donnelly and McCurry inside. So I do think that, you know, they're going to, you know, as we talked about the Donegal defence, they're really going to test them. And it's really which defence can help hold up, you know, the whole Ronan McNamee situation and the red card and all of that. It really will be to see which defence can hold up best, because I do think the two forward lines have massive quality in it. And, you know, while we talked about Donegal and Brendan spoke about their, you know, their composure and their resilience, they never panicked the last day. They were 4 points down in two stages in the game and they never really panicked. They just kind of stuck to their system. And, you know, when the likes of McBurty was being held and Murphy wasn't on the pitch yet, you had the likes of Michael Langan and Niall O'Donnell that really stood up and scored some crucial points. And I do think it will be to see which forward line can get the best out of either defence.
It's only 6-7 months since they met in the quarterfinal of the Ulster Championship last year, Donegal and Tyrone, Brendan. How different, for people who haven't seen much of Tyrone so far, how different a Tyrone are they going to see on Sunday?
Yeah, well, I suppose Nathan, everybody's playing something similar to a game plan. So, you know, the whole thing about trying to be a bit more expansive in that, listen, Kerry have the ability to destroy anybody, and they have come. Listen, Dublin have forced Kerry to get better and better. They did it to Galway. They did it to Tyrone. And less worried about that performance was just Tyrone's attitude on the day. Really sent shockwaves through the whole of Tyrone. You know, football mad county. I mean, it was amazing what that did. So nobody was too sure what to expect. What you had in the championship on Saturday evening was an assured Tyrone performance. You know, they had eight different players from the game that started, the team that started that day in Clarence. So it was a kind of different side. They've done a hell of a lot of work. They have a serious team up there with the two guys as well, the likes of Collie Holmes and coaching as well, along with Logan and Doher and that. And listen, as I say, they have a serious squad, you know, really top club championship as well. They keep producing. They're there, thereabouts with underage of you. They have good college teams, etc. So I think the Tyrone team, the Donegal team, unlike Derry this week, this Derry thing of how Derry play and how Rory Gallagher plays, it's the same as what he did before Manna. He caught it. He hoodwinked this wee bit because he didn't play the cat in Division 3. Maybe he didn't need to. But he went rigid bank of defence. And Derry, listen, no disrespect to Fermanagh, have better players in Fermanagh. That's why they're so dangerous. I don't think Tyrone will do that, and Donegal won't do it. They'll play the same system that they have. They'll drop players back. They'll try and leave one or two up front. It's basically the same way that everybody's playing, Nathan. And then it's just down to who's got the better players. I think, as I say, Tyrone have the better squad than Donegal. But the 15 that's on the pitch, for some reason, the likes of a Murphy or a Ryan McHugh or a Langan or players, I guess, seem to be able to influence the game that bit more for Donegal when they play each other. You just haven't seen that player, particularly around the middle. And I know we talk about McCurry and McShane. That's why I think from a Tyrone perspective, they must be excited about the likes of Kennedy. I think he'll start this week, Kilpatrick, because they need players out around the middle. Like, Matty Donnelly isn't working inside from. I don't know why they're using him in there. Listen, he needs to be out around the middle, winning balls and setting up attacks, because that evolution from defence to attack is what all the better teams are trying to do now, with pace, and then try and get a kick pass and a diagonal ball in, because there's no doubt in Tyrone have the men inside. It's out the pitch. It's the players coming through to feed them that Tyrone need to have, and that's where Donegal has been that bit better when the two sides have been meeting.
How are you calling it, Cora?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very close one. I just think for experience and just the way they kind of just dug out the match the last day, and Michael Murphy being fully fit, I think Donegal will just shade it by a point or two. I think it's going to be very little in it.
Brendan, I feel like there's a Donegal Yerra-ism in you here, that you might tip Tyrone just to, it's exactly, you got the text from Declan Bonner. Go with Tyrone, play down expectations.
Why not, Nathan? I'm just laughing. I've only seen back the footage last night, and I'm sure Cora's happy that no one's jumping on top of her every word like Spillane was on Sunday. That was a bit of comedy, Cora. So it's nice to be able to just talk and get your point across there, I'm sure. That was comedy stuff.
She's no comment on that one.
No, I know. Pat just likes to talk. We've just put it that way. I haven't met a man that likes to talk as much as him.
Right. So whoever wins that game, Donegal-Tyrone, you would expect would probably be favourites for the Ulster final. Armagh Monaghan is the first of them then on Saturday at 4 o'clock in Páirc Eisler. And again, Cora, like, we are talking about Monaghan, we end up revolving the entire conversation around Conor McManus, which is maybe a little bit unfair.
Yeah, it's probably a little bit unfair, but I think if you look in the past and you look at his performances, and you're looking at a key forward to win you a game when the pressure's on, he is the man. He's probably seen their league or their relegation match against Galway, which they were very lucky to win. He probably wasn't as influential that day, but when they needed the key scores, he stood up. So yeah, he is crucial to the Monaghan team, for the last number of years. And that Monaghan forward line, while they have some very good players inside, and Jack McCarron has been having a super year, and they've Conor McCarthy, he is crucial to them. So I do think a lot will hinge on his injury, his knee injury, and how bad it was. Reports are saying it wasn't as bad as first thought, but yeah, he is crucial to Monaghan. And this RMS side are up and coming. While Antrim give them a really good game, they have under obviously McGeaney and obviously Kieran Donaghy there. There's a lot of talk about the two Kerry boys involved in the two teams, obviously Donny Buckley involved, and with Monaghan and Kieran Donaghy being involved with RMS, it's going to be an intriguing battle, and both of these teams will see it as their chance to get to the Ulster final and maybe win one.
Brendan, are you seeing the influence of Donny Buckley and Monaghan?
Yeah, certainly. You'd have to say well done to the band. He pulled one out. He lost a couple of players, obviously, or a couple of backroom guys. McCaig and Corey are in there now. Johnny Davison coaching as well. But certainly Buckley. I mean, it's such a strange thing that Buckley left Kerry. Whatever happened there, and wasn't replaced at Kerry either, which is very intriguing. But Cora's right. Like, the Kerry influence up there, the bigger teams now are reaching out to people with All-Ireland capabilities. Donaghy obviously won it, and Buckley coaching Kerry and coaching Mayo for all those years and having that big game experience. And really, the two teams you think about it, like Monaghan haven't won an Ulster since 2015 or been in the final. If you had told me then, Nathan, that they're going to lose to Fermanagh, the Down, and back to Cavan, I'd be like, no way. They were one of the big three in Ulster. So this is a big year for Monaghan to get back up. And that's why I think McEnany's pulling out all the stops. Then you have Armagh, the former absolute kingpins of Ulster, you know, 2008. Since they were champions of Ulster. So these two teams are desperately hungry to get back inside. And I think what they're doing is, you know, they're my kind of the journey to be on now, like sticking with McGeaney. You know, I was at the game when they played Donegal at the Athletic Grounds, and the buzz off the fans there. It's funny when they're so stars of success, you know, the Armagh fans were absolutely on it that night. The 500 was in. The noise, it's the most noise I've heard in any ground event for that amount of fans. So they are desperate for success, so stuck with him. They have a cracking forward line. They're much more physical than Monaghan. Monaghan have speed, they're small. The players even that have come into them, the likes of Bannigan and Mulligan, these fellas are all small. Like Cora was talking there about McCarthy. Jack McCarron, say, has a brilliant league. It's never happened in a championship. So it's a huge championship for McCarron as well. So a lot of intriguing aspects going into that. But you just think the power that Armagh have. I mean, the likes of Burns and Grimley in midfield, and even we Rian O'Neill dropping in the midfield. They have a massive height advantage and power over Monaghan. So how both teams use their abilities, I think, will come down to who wins that match, because there's no doubt physically Armagh are a step ahead of Monaghan, but Monaghan have serious pace, and you've seen the way they cut up Donegal, for example, in that league game with just runners off the ball, hand passing. So an intriguing game, and two teams absolutely desperate to get into the Ulster final.
Yeah, it is incredible considering how successful for so long Armagh were, Cora, that you have to go all the way back to 2008 now for them being in an Ulster final. And there's so much intrigue around what Kieran McGeaney is doing, and all the Kierans up there are doing with Kieran McKeever and Kieran Donaghy. From what you've seen during their, let's say, rather erratic Division 1 campaign, but maybe they were quite pleased with the sort of test they were getting. Are you seeing, much like with Donny Buckley, Monaghan, are you seeing an impact from Donaghy up in Armagh, a change in style under Kieran McGeaney this season?
Yeah, you'd have to, and I think you've seen in their first round in Ulster against Antrim, you know, I think the first 5 or 10 minutes, and while it probably didn't come off, every time they got a ball around midfield, it was a long ball inside, you know, whether it was Reno Nito's inside, they really were going for that long ball game. So obviously that's a Kieran Donaghy influence there. And I do think their forwards, you can see Donaghy's influence with them. But in saying that, I think from watching that game, you know, Antrim really did put it up to them for the first, you know, maybe 40 minutes of the game. You know, they just didn't have that key target forward, you know, that could, you know, get on the end of it and you know, really create massive opportunities. But, you know, they really stuck with them, which in some ways would be worrying. I know it ended up in, I think, a 13-point win for Armagh. You know, they got a couple of late goals, but that really wasn't the story of the game. Yeah, Armagh were deserving winners, but certainly Antrim for the first 40 or 45 minutes were really in the game. And I just think the physical power and pace of Armagh, certainly won out the game for them. But yeah, I do think it's something Kieran McGeaney would look at and would be disappointed at. And, you know, this is a Monaghan team that, you know, while Antrim couldn't, you know, take their opportunities, I do think the likes of Monaghan, again, with Conor McManus being fit, and as Brendan said, Jack McCarron has had a great league, he's probably never shown it in Championship. But if these type of players, you know, can replicate what they have been doing throughout the league, they will put that Armagh defence under pressure. So, you know, I do think it's going to be a battle of, you know, who can win enough primary possession around the midfield as well. And that's going to be obviously crucial with, you know, the two midfields in Darren Hughes and Kieran Lavelle, who was a debutant for Monaghan the last day. So yeah, it's going to be intriguing who can win enough ball to get inside to the danger forwards.
I see Declan Bogue reporting that Ronan McNamee has been cleared to play for Tyrone against Donegal at the weekend, which is obviously a big boost for Tyrone heading into that game. Just on Armagh, Brendan, and where they are and what they need for that next step, because there have been big improvements under Kieran McGeaney. He's obviously felt there was a lot of room for further improvement with the changes he's made to his coaching staff. Do you feel they're on the verge of something big, have been able to not just beat a Monaghan but win an Ulster title and maybe start asking questions of some of the top 3-4 teams in the country?
Yeah, I certainly think so, Nathan. It's very interesting that Corey was talking about how he played in that first 40 minutes. And I don't want to take away from my good buddy, Enda McGinley. He's done savage work. When you think about Division 4 teams, the hammerings that they've been getting when they come up against top teams, that didn't happen for the majority of the game. And I know our man in the end, right, it was a bit of a rout with goals, but really they were only a point ahead on the scoreboard. I think Armagh had 14-8-15. They had 14, Armagh had 15, but the goals obviously killed them. But I think that goes back to psychologically. This Armagh team, right, has now gone from being this team that couldn't be beaten in Ulster. They've obviously been through a tough, tough time. That was their second one in 6 years in the Ulster Championship. So as much as they went down having played a good playoff game and beaten Roscommon and played well in the league, could have very easily qualified for semi as much as went down in that strange league that we have. They obviously were under a small bit of a cloud going on the Ulster because it just hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. It's hard to rid out those ghosts in a quick turnaround in terms of going in to play an Antrim team that was coming well set up and ready for the game. Once they opened up, you started to see the real Armagh. And I think that was a good game to get that out of the system because there's no doubt these guys just aren't used to winning Ulster Championship games. So if that had been Monaghan in the first round or a Tyrone or Donegal and they were a bit off it, they would have been beaten. So I think they've probably exercised a few ghosts. McGinley came straight out and said, here, lads, you've won nothing. You've stayed up in Division 1. What's all the talk about? So I think, you know what McGinley's like. He's a very settled centre-type person. He would have been calling the shots at half-time, saying, here, you know, we aren't a force. We aren't a force yet. Until we get into an Ulster final, won an Ulster final, only then can we start to talk about Armagh being back. So I think the work that's been done has been superb. And I think it's for a lot of teams to look at. If you stick with a manager and stick with a group of players, that you can achieve something and not just look at the short term, because there's quite a few times that we maybe thought McGinley, it wasn't working, they have to go, you know, he should probably forget about it. He's stuck with it, and you have to admire that. I mean, it's some passion for the game in Armagh, what McGinley's done over the years there. So, I mean, fair play to him. And now we see in Ulster another rise coming back, that Derry's coming back. So just going back to the fans thing, Nathan, and the, I suppose, the ingredients. What I got from Armagh that night and what you see with Armagh is they want it. You know, as much as we talk about weaker counties and how do we make them better, the will has to be there. And the will just isn't in every county to get to that level and to commit to that level. The Armagh lads have committed. And I think that's why this is set up for such a fascinating game now at the weekend.
Go on, one word, call it.
Oh, we slight the age for our man. Listen, Cora just mentioned Lavelle there. I couldn't mention because I was on with small players. He's definitely not small. He's a cousin of mine. And he's probably going to text me after this saying, go and get lost at the V. But I have a wee slight feeling for our man just because of the physical power. And maybe they'll get a goal extra on him.
What about you, Cora?
Yeah, I'm probably a bit like Brendan. I have a wee, I don't know, just a thing for Armagh as well. I just think that maybe because it's been so long since they've been in an Ulster final and won an Ulster final. And yeah, I probably think this Monaghan team aren't as good as they were over previous years. And again, the Conor McManus thing, can he be fit, you know, knee injury? Can he be fully fit? It's very hard to know. We haven't spoken about Darren, who's also been out injured. So whatever the story is on him.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, slightly going for Armagh. This one could be one of the ones that we go to a draw and possibly extra time and maybe penalties.
Well, look, these are great days for Ulster football, Brendan, when RTE are choosing to show Donegal Tyrone as their football match on Sunday and Dublin against Meath is relegated to GEA Go. Dublin Meath, again, all the talk is not about the rivalry or any of that. It's all about Stephen Cluxton and what is going on, and everyone has an opinion. I sort of feel that Desi Farrell has to know what's happening and that he's perfectly happy for everybody to talk about this and not talk about Evan Comerford, not talk about seven in a row, and it to be a distraction. And Stephen Cluxton doesn't mind it being a distraction either, because he's never going to do a retirement interview. He's never going to release a statement thanking everybody, and actually just letting it roll on is just fine. But a lot of people feel that actually Desi Farrell is as out of the loop as the rest of us. What do you know?
That's well summed up, actually. I like that point on it. Distract. Yeah, it's a famous tactic, isn't it, to keep the heat off you. Listen, if you look at this right, you can say this is disrespectful to the whole Dublin camp, especially to Comerford. But yet at the same time, this is Cluxton and this is Dublin, right? If you're the kingpins, you can call it, right? And Dublin can do it whatever way they want. and the rest of us mere mortals can pick holes in it or say whatever, until somebody comes up with the goods and actually beats Dublin and makes this an issue or puts pressure on Dublin that this becomes an issue, Dublin don't care. For all we know, the players already are like, yeah, it's fine. Listen, he's not coming. Listen, he's not going to be coming back now. Nathan, the fact that nobody said it, and Desi's attitude there is kind of strange, all right? I don't know why he just doesn't say he's not coming back. So he's hardly going to come back in now. There's not going to be a test until the semi. And even at that, you know what I mean? You're not going to bring in a keeper then and just play him in the final. Listen, this isn't going to happen. So it's a very strange one. For Clarkson and not to do interviews, it's created the biggest story probably so far of this year. But yeah, listen, as I say, when you're the kingpins, you can do what you want. And that's where Dublin are.
The retirement, if we would call it that, then, of Cluxton and the departure of so many players, Cora, they've shown they can survive before Dublin, but against Wexford it was an uncharacteristically off-colour performance. Was there anything in that suggest that maybe there are some cracks?
Certainly an uncharacteristic performance, and you know, I suppose when that happens then people think, you know, automatically think it's everything to do with Cluxton, and then the world went around him, whether he's retiring or not, or whether he's coming back or not. So, you know, straight away people are going to put that pinpoint into that, and you know, it's probably nothing to do with that. I do think he summed up the Cluxton retirement perfectly. I think that's exactly what's happening. It's the way Cluxton would want it. I think Desi Farrell at the panel knew long ago that Cluxton wasn't coming back. But yeah, it's a little bit worrying, and then you're going in a meet team who had a brilliant Leinster quarterfinal win. So yeah, it would be slightly, if you were looking from the outside, be worried for Dublin. But I just think while there's a few retirements and a few people that have stepped away from the panel, I just think this Dublin team have just strength and depth. They've such experience, you know, going for 7 in a row, this is nothing new to them. It's probably exactly how Dublin like to go in against Meath. People doubting them slightly after the performance against Wexford, Meath having a big win. So yeah, I can't see anything but a Dublin win, Nathan. So it'll be interesting to see. As you said, it's not even being covered live on television.
It is hard to make a case for Meath, Brendan, but even if they were, again, like Wexford, able to keep Dublin within double digits, we may start having a bit more body of evidence that everything isn't quite where it once was.
Yeah, listen, the glory years of 91, so we look back. Listen, you're right, 100%, Nathan. Double figures would be, I would applaud this Meath team. It seems some people putting up saying that the odds was generous, is there a possible upset? Here's what scares me from a Meath perspective, and I'm sure they're all in the same boat, that Dublin now are getting criticised for different things, particularly after the Wexford performance. And listen, you don't poke a dangerous animal. You know, whatever about the management calling it out, the players themselves are going to be seeing this rhetoric. And listen, you're captain of Dublin. You're coming in calling the shots. You're senior players. And listen, they're nearly all senior players. They're going to be saying here, people are saying, we don't care. We don't want it anymore. You know, that's what's scary for Meath. Dublin, I think, are going to come out. This is Croke Park, of course. Meath don't go out their defensive. And listen, highlights, it'll be bad enough, I think, on Sunday evening to see, Nathan, because I have a feeling there's going to be a sting in the tail from Dublin, which is right. Unfortunate for Meath.
Kildare Westmeath is the first of the Leinster semi-finals. We'll talk a lot more about that on OTBAM tomorrow and on tomorrow's show, so plenty of time to preview that. Cora, great stuff as always. Thanks for joining us.
No bother at all, Nathan.
And Brendan, we've just had a text saying that you are a ringer for Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia of Rob McElhenney. It's depressing. Every time I see you, it's younger you're getting. You doing any work at all?
Listen, I like me kippy, and me up in Donegal. This is Jamaica. This is Jamaica of Ireland. Everything's nice and slow paced the way I like it, Nathan. And listen, you've got to come back up and visit us again. You know, you've been up here.
They stopped the flight to Donegal, I think. Now it's the only way we travel, isn't it?
That's the one. That'll have to get back on board, all right, Nathan. We can't be taking that A5 on road. Listen, don't get a start on that trip to Dublin, but. Here, listen, Donegal will be coming to Dublin soon. Croke Park, you mark my words, my man.
If you leave him on long enough, he gets a bit cocky. There's no doubt about that. Brendan, great stuff, Cora. Thanks a lot, as always. And don't forget as well, if you want more analysis, the football pod with Paddy and Andy out every single Wednesday on the OTB Sports app. Brilliant stuff once again this week from Tommy Rooney, Paddy Andrews and Annie Moran. So subscribe to that. You want to be a part of that every single Wednesday. Up next, we're looking at the NBA Championship.
GAA on Off the Ball.